Amen. Hey, if you haven't already done so, I want you to go ahead and do me a favor. Download this church app that you see right here. Our girl, Abigail Peace, where are you? Abigail Peace, I don't know. She's way back there. She did an incredible job this week updating our app for you. So listen, if you download it there, you could read the Bible. You could follow along with my notes. You could submit prayer requests in there on the prayer wall. Come on, somebody. And she even added a merch shop for you guys to be able to purchase Kingdom Co. merch. Amen. So go ahead real quick. That's the one time I'm going to let you take out your phones during church. You got 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. Good? You got it? No? Too bad. You missed it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 to 28. Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 to 28. Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 to 28. When you got it, say amen. Take it old school to church. Amen. Everybody got it? Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 to 28. It says this: "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inwardly within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness." Verse 28, "So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Listen, today we're going to continue our series that we've been in for the past couple weeks called "I've Got Questions." Everybody look at your neighbor and say, "I've got questions." I've got questions. And in this series, we're taking on some of the hardest questions that many people wrestle with. And so week one, we talked about, if God is so good, why does life hurt so bad? Anybody ever had that question? I'm alone in that one? Okay, you guys are quiet today. Listen, the less you respond, the longer I will go. So if you want to get out of here to watch the Eagles game, no, I'm kidding. So week one, we talked about, if God is so good, why does life hurt so bad? Week two, Sam did an incredible job last week. Can we give it up for Sam? I apologize. As I said, we were having technical difficulties, so we did not get it recorded. Yeah, I know. Everybody say, oh. But we're doing our best to make sure. But, I mean, he still did a killer job. This is why you can't miss church. I know COVID a few years ago made it so that everybody could stay at home and watch it on a live stream. But if you want to get the word of God, you got to be in the building. But he did an incredible job talking from the topic of, can I really trust the Bible? And he challenged us with an even better question and talked about why we must actually trust the Bible. Amen? And that was really good. This week, though, I want to tackle a question that so many of us have had at one point or another. In fact, it's one of the most common questions that I get, and that is the question of, why are Christians so hypocritical? Why are Christians so hypocritical? Have you ever met someone that asked you that question? That said, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. I've been one of those people myself, where I haven't wanted to come into the building because the building is full of people that are just hypocritical. And so as a pastor, when I'm trying to counsel people and I'm trying to teach them about the gospel and I'm talking to them about the necessity of church and why they need to be a part of a community that will encourage them, that will challenge them, that will bless them, that will come alongside of them and hold them accountable and tell them why they shouldn't negate the gathering and the assembly of the saints, they look at me and they say, "I want to. The problem is I don't go to church because there are so many hypocrites in those seats." As a pastor, it's one of the most common questions and statements that I get. When people who've walked away from their faith or who quite frankly never gave it a chance
in the first place because the people that they have encountered within the body of Christ have turned them away from God themselves. And if we're being honest, many times those people are right. Sometimes what they've seen in Christians doesn't actually look anything like Christ. And that's the struggle that people have the most. I often tell people that the reality is that most people don't have a problem with God or Christ. What they have a problem with is with the people that claim to represent him. Most people, it's not that they're resistant to the church. Most people, it's just that they're actually looking for the real thing. They're looking for something authentic. They're not looking for something fake, but instead what they've seen is pastors preach purity but actually fall into scandal. What they've seen is Christians post Bible verses on Sunday but spew hate online on Monday. What they've seen is people using God's name to gain power, to gain fame, to gain influence, and to gain money. And if that's what Christianity looks like, then quite frankly, who would want it? Who would want to be a part of that? Who would want anything to do with that? And I believe that's why we need to talk about this question. Because it's what kept many from faith. It's what kept people with broken trust. It's what kept people with bruised hearts. And we have to tackle this question of why are Christians so hypocritical? Now, before I continue, though, I want to say that this is not going to be one of those messages where we're pointing the fingers at others. My hope this morning is that rather than going, oh, this message is for someone else, we would actually take ownership and lift up the word of God for a second, look ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves the question, am I one of the reasons why people want nothing to do with God? Could it be that the criticism that people have and the letdowns that people have faced could be because of their encounter that they've had with me personally? Because if we're really honest, if we hold up the mirror for just a few seconds, the truth is hypocrisy is not outside of the four walls, it's within here. It has less to do with them and more to do with us. It has less to do with other people and more to do with what's going on within the four walls of the church. And so we love to go, oh, it's the world, it's these people, it's those people, it's them people, whatever you want to call them. And the reality is, I wonder if we could just lift up the mirror for a second and go, wait a second, could it be me? I was going to quote somebody, but I'm not going to do it. I might. The reality is we all know what it feels like to fail. To fail at living up to what we say we believe. For example, I told my kids the other day that I wouldn't get angry, that I wouldn't lose my temper, and I would teach them, yo, you've got to be able to control your frustrations while at the same time losing mine. All right, we've promised God that we would live differently and that we would change. And the reality is that we've gone back to old habits and old behaviors that lead us to have the same patterns and the same outcome to those patterns. And we wonder why our relationships don't change. We wonder why we don't do better at work. We wonder why things aren't going our way. We've posted to love one another while going to Target and doing everything that we can to ignore the person we can't stand. And that tension is exhausting, isn't it? It really weighs on you. But here's the key difference that we need to understand. The thing that we have to understand right from the start is that there's a difference between being a hypocrite and being a human. There's a big difference between being a hypocrite and being a human. A hypocrite is someone who pretends to be something that they're not. A human is actually someone who struggles to become what God called them to be. They're different. A hypocrite pretends, a human struggles. Look at me. Hypocrisy isn't failing, it's faking. Hypocrisy is not missing the mark. It's pretending that you ever could actually hit it. It's acting as if you had it all together. It's not actually not having it together. It's pretending that you do. And many of us within the four walls of the church do a really good job at faking it. And we're not real about the fact that we fail it. Most people don't have a problem with imperfect people. Most people have a problem with people who pretend to be perfect, who pretend to have it all figured out, who pretend to have all the answers, who pretend to be so holy and so righteous and so wonderful, who pretend their marriages ain't got no issues, who pretend that they're not doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Most people don't have a problem with people who fail. They have a problem with people who fake. In fact, Craig Rochelle puts it this way. He says, hypocrisy is the gap between what we show and who we really are. Hypocrisy is the gap between what we present to people and who we actually appear to be. In other words, it's when appearance matters more than authenticity. That's why when Jesus is talking to people in the book of Matthew, it's not that he's talking to people who aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. He's talking to people who pretend to be doing what they're supposed to be. This isn't new. Hypocrisy is not something that is just new to the world of today. In fact, even Jesus, in Jesus' day, people were turned off by the religious hypocrisy that they saw, which is why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 to 28, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." That word woe is, yo, this is a warning. Like, you ought to be cautioned. It's that sign when you're driving down the road that says, caution, like the road is going to end. You're not going to have anywhere else to go. And yet you decide to ignore that sign and go through. You ever done that? You decide to ignore it, and now you found yourself in a big traffic jam and can't turn out of it. He's saying, yo, you've got a problem. Here's a warning for you. And the people that he's talking to are the scribes and the Pharisees, religious leaders. He says, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside you are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful. Everything looks amazing on the outside. It looks wonderful. It looks attractive. But within, you are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within, you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You see, when Jesus said these words, he wasn't talking to sinners on the street corners. He was talking to religious leaders in the synagogue. Jesus rebuked them and called them hypocrites. And that word in the Greek is hypokritos. Everybody say that with me. Hypokritos. Hypokritos. It means literally to act, pretend, or wear a mask. Know what the problem with people within the church is? Too many of us have grown comfortable in our masks. We've grown comfortable presenting something that isn't really what it truly is. You see, these people were people who preached what they would not practice. They were people who placed heavy expectation on people that they exempt themselves from. They were people who everything they did was to be seen and to be served by others. And they looked holy on the outside, but were full of greed and self-indulgence on the inside. Their lips honored God, but their lives dishonored him. How many of us are actually giving God a lip service? We talk a good talk, but the question is, can we walk a good walk? These people were people who performed righteousness publicly while hiding corruption privately. They had all the right words, but none of them had the right heart. Like, they looked holy, but they didn't live holy. They actually lived hollow. And the problem that we have within the church today is a hollow Christianity. It's a Christianity that only happens on Sundays but isn't carried out Monday through Saturday. It's a Christianity that only touches the surface but never goes deep. It's a Christianity that is all about what is presented but not the life that is actually walked out. And Jesus didn't just dislike hypocrisy. He hated it. Listen to me. Jesus hates hypocrisy. He hates it. He detests it. Not because he hates the people, but because hypocrisy hides God's heart from the world. Hypocrisy makes it so that you cannot reflect the heart of God unto the world. So it hides it. That's why so many people, I would like to trust the church, but I can't because it's full of hypocrites. And because they see the hypocrites, they can't see God. Because they can't see God, or they can't see God because they see something that's fake. Listen to me. I don't want to be the kind of Christian who causes people to miss out on the goodness and the greatness of God. Now, let's be real. Again, we have to understand the difference. Because we're not talking about being perfect. We're not talking about not missing the mark. The difference between a hypocrite and a human is someone who pretends versus someone who struggles. Your boy struggles. Ask anyone on my team right now. Do it after church. You might break my heart too much. Because we're all human. We all mess up. We all miss the mark. But when we all act like we don't, we end up living hypocritical lives that hide God's heart from the world. When people claim to represent God, but don't actually reflect his character, they make others believe that God is like that. When they claim to represent God, but they don't actually reflect his character, his nature, his identity that he has placed on the inside of them, they make others believe that that's what God is like. And the reality is that that's the real tragedy. And I could give you examples for days on this. Churches covering up abuse while preaching about holiness. People who speak in tongues but refuse to stop gossiping. Celebrities and influencers that are wearing the label of Christian to gain influence and followers, but never actually live the life of surrender and sacrifice and dying unto themselves, dying unto their own desires, dying unto their own will. We could talk about this for days. Christians who claim to be Christian because they lift their hands on a Sunday morning and then they leave this place, and the same hands that they lift to worship God are the same hands that they use to commit the most foul sins in the world. And then we wonder why the world looks with hatred and with frustration and with disdain towards Christianity. Because every time that happens, the world sees the mask and misses the Messiah. Now, here's the challenge for the people who are on the other side. Now, I've dealt with the Christians. I've dealt with the believers. I've dealt with the people who claim to follow Jesus, but are really looking like it. I want to talk to the unbeliever for just a second, the person who said who says I just don't trust the church because I can't trust the people. I don't follow God because when I look at his people, they don't look the same. The problem might actually be that Jesus never instructed you to follow people. Listen to me, Jesus is the mark, not the people. Jesus is the aim, not your pastor. Jesus is the one that we copy, that we image, that we imitate, that we follow, that we surrender to, that we put our faith in, not the people who claim to follow him. Jesus never said, follow my followers. He said, follow me. So maybe the better question isn't, why are Christians so hypocritical? Maybe the better question is, have I been following Christ or just people who claim to? Have I been following Jesus or have I been following an imposter? Listen to me, an imposter will always lead you in the wrong direction. I think what we need to do is be more careful to know the difference. Be more careful to know the difference between what is real and what is false. Here's the thing. Not everyone who claims to follow Jesus is truly following Jesus. That's why it's so confusing. Because if we put the stake on the claim and not the actual life, you're always going to miss it. Everyone who professes Jesus does not represent Jesus. Everyone who goes to church does not represent Jesus. In fact, let me hit you with a very sobering reality, and I don't want you to feel like I'm yelling at you. But let me hit you with a very real and sobering reality. And some of you might not actually like hearing this because you might be in this category. I would be safe to actually say that 75 to 85% of the church claim to follow Jesus, and I would question as a pastor if they genuinely do. No, like, I'm going to be real. And this is the problem. Now, some of you, listen, I understand. You don't like the fact that I said that. Because you were taught to believe. Let me make this more appealing to you. We were taught to believe that if we come into an environment where the name of Jesus is lifted up and we open our mouth and we sing a few songs, and we make the sacrifice of instead of sleeping in, coming into a church building, and we sing the songs, and we listen to Pastor Jose, and Pastor Jose, sometimes he makes us laugh, and sometimes he's always telling us off. And we endure that. And we endure that, and we come in, and then we've been taught to believe that if we just go through that cycle, but never actually apply what's being taught to us, that we could leave this room feeling safe as if we are going to be okay. And the reality is that Jesus makes it extremely clear that following him is not about claiming to follow him. Following him, it's about surrendering and sacrificing your entire life, all of your desires, all of your ambitions, all of your plans, all of your wills, and actually laying down your life to live for him. It's not just about proclaiming that you are his, it's proving that you are. Everyone who claims to follow Jesus doesn't truly follow Jesus. Here's the very real reality for some of us in this building. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20 says, beware of false prophets. Now, in the context of what he's talking about, he's talking specifically about religious leaders who claim to be representing Christ. False prophets but aren't really doing so. The truth applies to all of us who claim to follow him, but aren't truly doing so. You follow me? So he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, meaning they present to be something safe and something good. They present themselves to be something that represents him, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now the question then becomes, how do we know the difference, Jesus? He answers that question when he says, you will recognize them by their words. You will recognize them by what they say. You will recognize them because they say to go to church, because they say they preach the word, because they say that they sing the right songs, because they cried during worship. No. He says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Fruits are evidence that proves something to be what it is. You don't look at an apple tree and go, that's an orange tree. The proof clearly shows you that the two are different. It's something different. That's why he says, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? The answer to that question is no. Or do figs from thistles? The answer to that question is again. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. What's that mean? You cannot claim something to be what it is not. Let me put it to you in what I'm trying to teach you. You cannot claim to be Christian and produce everything that is actually antithetical to Christianity. Verse 20, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. If there's something we have to be careful to understand, it's this. Christianity is not proven by what people profess. Christianity is proven by what they practice. Christianity is not proven by what they profess. Christianity is proven by what we practice every single day of our lives. Listen to me. I'm going to say this with as much love, care, concern that I can, and I won't even yell it so that you know. I'm not saying it out of anger. But please, please, I would prefer that you come to this church every single week, and I've had conversations with people like this. I come to church, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe what you're saying. I'd rather you come to this church and say, I'm searching. I'm looking. I'm asking questions. I'm curious. But I don't actually really surrender my life to Jesus. Then for you to leave this building pretending that you do. Here's the reality. Jesus would actually prefer that you do the same. People aren't Christians simply because they claim to be. Even Jesus said in chapter 7, verse 21, as he continues in that chapter, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Did you catch that? Not everyone who claims that he's Lord actually submits to him. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does what? The will of the Father. Here's the reality that you need to understand. If you are not doing his will, you're not walking in his way. What's his will? That you be holy, that you be righteous, that you be surrendered, that you live sacrificially, that you live generously, that you represent him not just when you're in these four walls, but when you leave the four walls of this building and you go into work and you go into the grocery store and you're dealing with the waitress who got your order wrong. Come on, somebody. When you're at the grocery store and you've been in a long line for a little bit because the lady wants to use all her coupons and you want to flip out and you can't flip out, right? Like when you're dealing with your spouse who tells you that you're kind of missing the mark a little bit and your ego rises up and you want to be like, well, you're missing the mark too. And you're going tit for tat and you're going off on each other and you're and both of you are messed up and jacked up at that point, right? No, but that you do the will of your Father in every single aspect of your life. And sometimes you're going to miss that. And there's grace. But there's a difference between missing it and completely walking in the opposite direction. There's false Christians who declare the name but deny the nature of Christ. They know religion, but they have no relationship. They know scripture, but there's no surrender. But then there are real believers who prove what they are not by what they claim, but how they live. There's Christian believers out there who actually prove that they are not believers, or what they're not, meaning that they prove that they're not unbelievers, that they're actually walking in righteousness, not by what they claim, but by how they live. The way that you prove that you are a disciple is that you are following your master. The way that you prove that you are a disciple is by actually obeying your master. You don't walk in a way that does not match the way that you talk. But the walk matches the talk. You don't fake perfection, but you depend on forgiveness. And that doesn't give you the reason or the excuse or the ability to then use his grace as something that we are to abuse and misuse. But instead, because of his grace, you say, God, because you have done so good to me, because you have been so good to me, because you have saved me, you have delivered me, you have forgiven me, you have restored me, you have transformed me. Out of that transformation that's done only by the Holy Spirit, then I walk in a new life, and sometimes I will stumble, and sometimes I'll walk in a way that doesn't really please him, but I keep coming back to grace, and I ask him to forgive me, and then I ask him for the grace not to stay in my mess, but to walk out of it. That's why the Apostle Paul could write in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, for I do not understand my own actions. This is one of the greatest apostles to ever live. He wrote most of the New Testament. He says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want to, but I do the very thing I hate. That wasn't Paul being a hypocrite. It was Paul being human. Paul was describing the struggle of every honest Christian who wants to live right for God, but is still being transformed every single day. In fact, the Bible calls that being perfected, meaning that you never really truly attain the state that you really are supposed to attain. You're not perfect, but you are being perfected. You're not refined, but you are being refined. You're brand new, but you're also being made new every single day. And that's the reality of Christianity. It's not about having it all together. It's about being honest about the places that you don't. However, we have to be careful that imperfection doesn't become a cop-out. If he is perfecting you, that means your life has to look different. Nobody who truly encounters God ever leaves the same way. Listen to me. The mark of you encountering Jesus is not that you shed a few tears. the mark of you encountering Jesus is that your life looks differently. That when your kids look at you and your spouse looks at you and your coworkers look at you, they say, yo, something's different about you. And things are not the same. But it's not about having it all together. It's about being honest about the places that you don't. Don't use his grace as a cop-out instead. John chapter 2, verse 6 says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. In other words, if you claim to follow Jesus, you better walk like him. You better talk like him. You better love like him. You better serve like him. You better be full of joy and full of peace like him. Your life better look like what you claim. He says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. And that right there is the goal. It's not pretending to be like Jesus, but actually letting his spirit transform us from the inside to be like him. Listen to me. If you've been turned off by hypocrites, can I encourage you for just a second? Don't judge Jesus by those who misuse his name. If you're in this building, and I know there's so many of you who have encountered people that have misused the name of Jesus to hurt you and abuse you and betray you and cause so much pain and so much anguish, I would encourage you with as much compassion as I can, don't judge Jesus by those who have misused his name. If you want to know what Christianity truly looks like, don't look at people, look at him. He didn't wear a mask. He didn't pretend. He didn't just say love. He actually showed love. He didn't just preach forgiveness. He actually offered forgiveness, even to those who betrayed him and were doing so live in action. Instead of cursing people, he blessed them. He became the reality of what this thing should look like, can all be found and seen in Jesus. So please stop looking at imperfect people and start setting your eyes on a perfect Savior who loves you, who died for you, who sacrificed his life for you, who shed his blood, sweat, and tears to save you from your sins, because that is what real Christianity looks like. And if you've been hurt by some hypocritical Christians, listen to me, Jesus gets it. He confronted hypocrisy more directly than anyone ever has in the history of time. But don't walk away from him because of them. In fact, don't even walk away from him because of what you see in me. It's easy to think that just because there's somebody on a platform, that they've reached a level of perfection that needs to be attained. And that's just not true. And if you're a believer, listen to me. This is your wake-up call. This is the moment for you to wake up and stop pretending to be something that you really are not. Stop playing games with his name. This is what it actually means to not take the Lord's name in vain. You think it's about words that you speak or curse words that you utter. To take the name of the Lord in vain is so much more serious than that, because to take his name in vain means that we think that we're okay because we utter the name of Jesus and we take on this identity of Christianity, but our life does not match up. Think it's about what we say, but it's more about how we live. Don't wear the name of Jesus without walking in the nature of Jesus. Because if you wear it, but don't walk it, you take his name in vain. And parents, you know this to be true. What's the first thing you tell your kid when they go out to do something? I have this talk with my children anytime they go to somebody's house. What do we tell them? Yo, remember that you are a representation of who? Of me. You're a Lopez. Therefore, you better act like a Lopez. You're a Lopez. Therefore, you better, like, Make sure you're not taking my name in vain and making me look bad. That's what it means to not take the name of the Lord in vain. If you're going to profess to be a Christian, then you better actually live like it. It needs to be real, humble, grace-filled believers who admit their weakness and point to the one who makes them strong, and that is Jesus. So if you've been faking it, my encouragement to you is take off the mask. I want the band to come up. If you've been wounded by fake faith, let Jesus heal that wound. If you've been skeptical about the church, I want to encourage you, man, give Jesus another look. Take your eyes off of people and put them onto Christ. Because the story of Christianity isn't about perfect people. The story of Christianity is about a perfect Savior who rescues broken people. I want you to imagine, what would happen if Christians stopped pretending and started confessing? And I'm not just talking about confessing our sins, but actually confessing unto Christ and the world that we have surrendered, that He is our everything, that our faith is in Him and in Him alone. Imagine what if it looked like if the church became a place where people could be real instead of looking right. If we led with humility instead of hypocrisy. Because listen to me, that's what the world is waiting for. The world is waiting for a church that doesn't just talk about grace, but actually lives it. The world is looking for a people who don't claim perfection, but walk in repentance. It's looking for a people, a community that says we're not here because we're good. We're here because God is. And as a pastor, like this is like one of the most important things for me to communicate to my church. So we need to stop pretending to be something that we're not. We need to become the church that the world needs to look at. And listen to me, now more than ever, the world is looking for answers. People are flooding the church, specifically in the Gen Z generation. They're looking for answers, and I don't want to be the kind of church that when they look at for the answer, they come looking for the answer, and instead they come looking for the reason why they want nothing to do with God, why they want nothing to do with Jesus, why they want nothing to do with the kingdom, and instead they end up walking in the opposite direction because of what they've encountered within the four walls of this church. We need to be a people who are worried more about authenticity than we are performance. Maybe you've been running from God because of hypocrites. But today you've realized something, that the problem isn't with Jesus, the problem is with His people. And yet He still invites you to come close. He still draws you in. He doesn't ask you to be perfect. He just asks you to be honest and to take off the mask and let Him make you new today. If that's you, I want you to just stand to your feet. I want you to bow your heads. And I want you to choose to begin a relationship with Jesus. To choose to actually set your gaze upon Him. Can we stand to our feet? If something I've said today resonates with your heart, I want you to make this decision right now. To say that, Jesus, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to set my gaze on You. And I'm not going to look to the left. I'm not going to look to the right. But I want something real. I don't want something where I have to pretend, where I have to act like I've got to put it all together. I want something real and authentic, and I need it today. And if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me as you close your eyes and bow your heads. Say, Jesus, I've been hurt by people who claimed your name. I've been hurt by people who didn't show your heart. But today I'm choosing to look past them and to look to you. I confess that I've sinned against you, that I've fallen short, that I need your grace. I ask you to forgive me, change me, and make me real. I want to follow you, not religion, but relationship. I want a relationship with the living God. In your precious and holy name, amen and amen. Come on, can you put your hands together for the people who made that decision? Listen to me. As we continue to stay in this moment, I want to invite you to do something. I want to invite you to do something brave and something real and something honest. For some of you, this message hit home because you've been carrying wounds from hypocrisy. Maybe someone in this church hurt you. Maybe someone in another church has hurt you, but you've been keeping your distance, not just from people, but from God. For others, maybe you realize you've been wearing a mask this entire time and you've been pretending for way too long. You've been doing the church thing and saying the right words and doing all the right things, but your heart's been far from God. Today's the moment to make everything different and to make room for God to move again in your life and to tear down the walls of your religion and to take off the mask of your performance and to let Jesus do what only He can do. And as the worship team leads us in this final song called Make Room, our prayer team is going to come up right now. And they're going to stand up here at the front. And I want to encourage you, don't just stand there and sing about making room for Jesus. And don't be standing there singing about surrendering your life to Him if you're not going to do it. As you sing those words and as you meditate on those words, I want you to actually step into what God is calling you to step into. And if you need prayer for healing or forgiveness or for strength to live authentically, I want you to come up here right now as we sing this song. If you've been carrying hurt from the church, come let someone pray with you. Let someone believe with you. Come let someone pray for healing over your life and over your heart. Because if you just want to say, God, I'm done pretending. I want you to have all of me. I want you to come up here right now. You don't have to explain everything. Just come and let someone agree with you.